Hello and welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. And we were talking before in a previous podcast to Elder Steve Allen, and we were just going back down memory lane. All the experiences and thoughts about the legendary godfather of gospel, Bishop Rance Allen. And again, we said, who better to recount the experiences, who better to recount the history than the person who was right there beside him, and oftentimes the person who had to get him back on point, because anyone that knew Bishop Rance Allen, he'd stop to talk to people, he'd stop and just hold conversations, and he might be late, but Elder Allen would say, look, bro, we got to go. How you feeling, man?
Feeling good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. You know, let's start right there. It is said of Bishop Allen that he always tried to get back to his pulpit. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, he always did. I mean, whenever we were out, he'd make a point to try to get back to the church on Sunday. I mean, he actually performed in a play called Mama Don't. And he was one of the cast members there. And they would literally fly him back every week so that he was able to get back in church. The other cast members stayed out on the road, but he was privileged enough that they would fly him back, and then he would come back after his services.
Talk about love. That's real love.
Yeah.
To make sure that the pastor got back to the congregation and come back to do.
And the guy, this Michael Matthews, was the producer of the play Mama Don't. And he was like kind of like the trailblazer before Tyler Perry.
Long before.
Right.
Yeah, I had my own Mike Matthews story. I used to work for a station up in Detroit, WJLB. I got a call from a guy that wanted to put on a play. He was just getting started. And I had to go. He lived off of 7 Mile, I believe, at that time. I met him in his living room. All entertainment and beauty salons and barbershops were cash in advance, and politicians. Well, I met him, we talked, he paid me right there in the living room. The play started rolling and rolling and rolling. He started growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Next thing I wondered, well, whatever happened to Mike Matthews? He had gotten so large, but then the other guys came along, and Mike was kind of forgotten about, but he was the true godfather of that industry.
Matter of fact, I got a story about Mike Matthews. He was training me how to produce plays, honestly. And he was starting here in the state of Ohio. He says, I want you to take Cleveland, Cincinnati, Toledo, Columbus, and there was one other city I don't remember. But we made the bad mistake of starting in Toledo. And it never got off the ground from here in Toledo. But he had paid for the Stranahan's Theater for the nights, for opening, and so many nights there. But it just, I don't know, it just never worked the way that it was without bad-mouthing anybody. It was a lot of people that didn't want to see that come to Toledo.
Yeah, those were
unfortunately,
the days.
Unfortunately.
People could be a little bit ruthless back in the day. And I recall so many stories. People would hear about an artist coming into town, and they would book another artist for less money just to
Make sure it didn't work.
I'm happy to say that it looks like we're getting along a little bit better now.
Right.
Also, the artists have a lot to do with it, too. I'm not going up here 50 miles in the place that person's going to appear. So it's a little bit better. Let me ask you, Elder, do you have a favorite artist? There's so many of them out there.
There's so many of them out there. I'm going to be honest with you. For me, it's not so much about a favorite artist. From time to time, I have a favorite song. And I can't think of one right offhand, but songs move me more so than artists. And it's like I'll hear a song, and oh man, I love that song. And it comes from different people, but I move more by a song than I am an artist. And the song could come from anybody, but that's what moves me. When I hear a song and it gets it in my spirit, it's like, man, I got to have that. And I love the fact now that you can go to iTunes and boom, and get your song right now, the one that you want.
Yeah. It's so different. The technology has just opened up so many avenues for artists, whereas you came along when people had to go buy the album.
Right.
And if you had a nice album cover, sometimes they'd buy it just for the album.
The album cover sometimes sold the album.
Do you miss those days when it was less technology and more interaction with everyday folk?
Yeah, we miss those days, but then again, you know, I just look at it like this. Technology is going to always be moving forward, and you as an artist, you have to be able to adapt to the changes, because if you're not able to adapt to the changes, you'll get left behind, because you'll be stuck back there. We're not doing it that way anymore. And if you can't adjust to the new way of things happening, you're just kind of lost in the past.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be able to evolve as time evolves.
You have
to. As the technology evolves.
It's sort of like the horse and buggy. When a horse and buggy moved over to the car at first, a lot of people resisted cars coming in, you know. I'm still riding the horse and buggy. But you only can resist so long till you have to really see, you know what, with all my resistance, it's still the car is still going to take over. Yes. For the horse and buggy. And that's what it is with the gospel music. We held on to the albums, and then it went to the CDs. Well, the cassettes.
Cassettes were.
We hold on to the cassettes, and it went to the CDs. And you held on to the CDs, and then it went to the streams. And you have to adjust to all of that, otherwise you'll be holding a bunch of albums that nobody can play.
and the streaming has opened up avenues for so many people that might not have gotten discovered.
Exactly.
They're able to go on and all of a sudden get all of these likes, all of these views, and someone says, this person is generating a lot of attention. We need to pay attention to them.
Exactly.
So that, and you've got your children in the business, right?
No, my son plays for our church. He's an organist at the church. And my daughter has a beautiful voice. She sings, but they're not into it the way that we were into it, you know.
Well, they say sometimes things skip a generation. So skip this generation, there may be another Rance Allen somewhere out there.
There might be, but I can tell you this much. He's truly, when you listen to his voice, he's one of a kind, because what separates him, I think, from most is that a lot of people that can hit those real high notes like he does, when they go to the low register, they're just, oh, they're okay, you know. But he was just as strong at the low register as he was with the high register, which you just don't hardly hear of people being strong at both ends of the spectrum.
Right.
He truly was strong at both ends of the spectrum and everything in the middle.
Well, that was legitimate in saying that his voice was an instrument, and he worked it like it was an instrument.
Yes.
I remember the Clark sister saying in one of the songs, we don't need no music. With Bishop Allen, he could turn and say, we don't need no music, and he'd just take it and just do his run and say, oh, man.
And then he was a showman. He was a true showman.
Yes. Let me ask, did he ever win a Grammy? Because I know he probably should have. I probably should know that, but I know he won all kinds of gospel awards.
He's nominated for a Grammy, I think, 3 times, but not actually the Grammy. Won the Stellar Awards,
yes,
a few times, but nominated for a Grammy Award on 3 separate occasions.
Well, somebody told me, when it comes down to the Grammys and the Oscars and the Emmys, when it comes down to those awards, sometimes you just want to get nominated, because when you're introduced, they always say nominated for it, whether you won
right.
or not.
Right.
That's just the case.
Well, because it's truly just to get the nomination is, I mean, it's remarkable to even get that nomination, because that shows that you're one of, what, the top maybe three or four. I don't know how many get that nomination, but it's only given to three or four people. So for that year, that means you're one of the top three or four in the country for that year at what you do.
Yeah, and whatever you're doing, sales seem to go up just because you got the nomination.
And they will go up because people pay attention to who gets nominated.
You know, I mentioned seeing him at University of Toledo in our previous podcast. I know he was, every year he would come for Martha Jean, the Queen's event.
King of Kings. We did that for about 15 years straight. And out of all the people that they had on there, we were on it every single year. Every year, two or three of the groups would change, but we were on that program every single year for 15 years straight. Until they stopped doing it, we were on it every single year.
It was one of our biggest events. King of Kings, and man, that thing paid homage to Martha Jean, the Queen.
I wish they hadn't stopped that. And they did it a couple of years after she passed away. Her daughter took over it for a couple of years, and then they weren't able to keep it up after that.
Well, our station changed.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah, we were not who we used to be. But I also saw he came in for Dad Theotis Horton, because, you know, our church's fellowship, and I'm ashamed. No, I'm not. I would go get a free concert. When I heard that Bishop Allen was going to do the anniversary in the evening, because Dad Horton, he was a singer himself. He was quartet, and he was known all around the country for his quartet. He was one of the few people that people would come into Toledo to do a show for and give a good price to, because they just love Pastor Horton.
Right.
So he was well known, well liked. But when you saw Bishop Rance Allen, he was the same at the King of Kings, the Apollo at, I guess Shiloh was the church that Pastor Horton was pastor of. He was the same. So was he the same demeanor wherever he went?
No matter where he went, he was always the same. Whether the crowd was real small or big, it didn't make a difference. He went to Baltimore, Maryland, and they had a mix-up, and it was spring break. So there was nobody. There was three people in the crowd. Three. And do you know he still did the concert?
A full concert.
A full concert for three people. And he sang as though there were 1,000 people out there. There was only three people. There was more people backstage, the stagehands, than there were in the crowd, literally.
Man, if we had had cell phones back then. You want to see a good concert? Hurry up and get here.
But that's one of the things, when you think about things that happened, it was kind of in a weird way. We sang, went all the way to Baltimore, Maryland, and did a concert for three people.
And he never let up. See, that's somebody who never really let loved up. People and loved what
and
he did.
And he gave the three people a full concert.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, he didn't cut them. He gave them a full concert.
Oftentimes you will see, and there's a scripture for it, that a king is with honor except in his own city. Now, I think that's been changed to say that a king is a king except in his own castle. Hmm. Do you think that Toledo really showed him the love for the level of professional artist that he was? And it's not a slam on Toledo, it's just the nature of the beast. Because I felt the same way about Anita Baker and Aretha Franklin, that even though Detroit loved them, they got more love when they went to Paris or Los Angeles or Chicago than they received in Detroit. Then there's that old story about, I can't think of her now. I should even walk down there, so I'm not even going to go that way. But your thoughts on that?
And that's true to a certain extent, except for I have to give Toledo a lot of credit for backing my brother and ourselves, because when we did the live experience in Detroit, Michigan, back in the early 2000s, it was cold. It was cold that weekend when we did that. But he said, I want Toledo to stand up in the house in Detroit. And I'm telling you, that building erupted with people from Toledo. I said, man, Toledo is really backing us. I mean, I believe there was more people from Toledo up there than it was from Detroit. And we've been known for Detroit backing us up a lot. So I said, man, Toledo really was in the house. And anytime I think about how Toledo feels about the Rand Sound Group, all I have to do is think about that concert. And he said, I want Toledo to stand up. And that building erupted with people from Toledo.
Toledo stood that day.
Toledo stood that day.
Well, there was a lot of love. And I don't know where AI is going to go. But, man, if we could get an AI concert one day with Bishop Allen and some of the other gospel artists that have gone home, it would be something to see Bishop on this side playing guitar and Rosetta Tharpe on that side playing guitar. Oh, man, that would be so different. But I got to ask you, you were there. You've got that experience. Do you see yourself getting back on stage, or do you have that desire? Because some people say, you know what, I just don't want to do it anymore.
Well, for me, it's like this. I still have some interest in doing that, and I feel like this. If God leads me that way and everything lines up, I'm going to be happy to do it again. But at the same token, if we don't ever sing again, we've been from the East Coast to the West Coast to the North to the South, in the country and out of the country singing. So I'm not going to feel bad about it either way, because if we get back out there, then I say, well, then God's not through with us doing this. But if we don't, all I got to do is turn on my radio or turn on YouTube, and our stuff is plastered on YouTube. It's plastered on there, and that's going to be there forever.
Yes.
So either way, I've just learned that I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. If we do, I'll be excited to get back out there. But if we don't, you know what? I'm still excited. I'm excited to be here talking about some of the things that we've done through the years. Because I'm now looking back and talking to you, it makes me realize, man, we did a lot. Because sometimes I forget about stuff that we've done, but you're bringing a lot of this stuff back to my remembrance, is that, man, we touched a lot of lives. I mean, a lot of lives. And it's coming through with this interview right here talking to you, how monumental some of the things that we've done, that we kind of just take them for granted now, because, well, it's happened, it's in the past. But at the time, we were opening up doors that have been closed. We were opening up, we didn't know that's what we were doing, but we were opening up doors that had been closed to a lot of people. And now a lot of people walk through doors that we played a part in opening.
Yeah, you kicked that door open, man.
We kicked the door open, and they can sing whatever they want to sing. We had to really be careful about stuff that we could sing, because we caught a flack about certain songs, you know, that people might think, you know, you weren't singing gospel with this, you know, even though we felt it was gospel. But because it was so hard traditional at that time on gospel, they didn't really want you to veer off too much from the traditional sound of the gospel. But we never had that traditional sound, so we were always walking a tight rope to get to where we had to go.
Now, you guys, and correct me on this, because I'm reaching here, but we were just talking about memories. Was it Reflect Records that you started with?
Reflect, that was the very beginning. Okay. That was before Watch Stacks, but that really didn't go anywhere. That label didn't really go anywhere. Our big label was when we started with the Stacks Records.
Did anybody ever say, Rance, you know, if you just give us X number of dollars, we can start Reflect back up. We can make it. I know we can. Or you guys had just went on too far down the road to back up.
Right. Because Reflect label was just a small label, and Stacks was like a powerhouse compared to them. So it was it was no looking back once you got with a bigger label. Because at that time, the label was really the key to getting your music,
your distribution,
your right? Because if you had a label and they didn't have poor distribution, why it wasn't gonna go in, it wasn't gonna go anywhere.
Like we said, the technology today has altered the course of
Exactly.
Now you can get you can get recognition.
Right.
Distribution is another creature, but you do get recognition, and that can lead to distribution. Now, let me ask you, does anyone or do you guys ever get together as a family, what have you, and just remember maybe around his birthday or, I don't know, family reunion, just remember Bishop?
Yeah, yeah, we like to do something around his birthday, and usually when around his birthday, we're going to, there'll be food and stuff like that, and then people reflect on things, and some of us will sing some of the songs, and we got a couple people in the family want to try to, I got my one younger brother, he wants to try to sing like him, and it's hilarious, because he'll try to do all the, imitate everything that he does, you know, and he's putting his heart into it, but we're just laughing like everything, because it's just so hard to try to imitate him and do a good job at it, you know.
Has anyone tried to pull you, because you're part of the Michigan Northwestern Harvest jurisdiction, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have they tried to pull you out of Toledo?
Well, actually, because after he passed away, they actually dissolved the Michigan Northwest Harvest, because he was the bishop of that.
Okay.
Of that, and all of those churches that were involved that he was over, they're actually got incorporated into other districts,
yeah.
Right. So that district is Michigan Northwest Harvest has been dissolved.
Okay, what do you see happening at New Bethel? What's on the horizon for New Bethel? Because the church doesn't go out of business.
No, and the church doesn't go out of
that's
business.
That's what this thing is all about, is saving souls, reaching out, redeeming people, and getting the word out there. So.
And right now at New Bethel, I can't really say one way or the other where I see it going. I do know that we're still spreading the gospel, and I feel like, well, God at some point is going to give me some idea what He wants me to do. I'm not sure about that either right now. I feel like in certain times things are in limbo, but while we're in limbo, you know, I'm still yet singing and I'm still yet praising God, I'm still yet preaching the gospel. And I say, well, if and when time comes that God wants to make that move, he'll let me know, you know. Let me know. But in the meantime, I'm gonna put 100% effort into what I'm doing with the church and with the singing.
Well, Doc, I'm glad he led you across my path and led you to this opportunity. It's been great talking to you and going down memory lane.
Hey, well, it's been great talking to you, too.
We've been speaking with Elder Steve Allen, brother of Bishop Rance Allen. And look, you need to go back and listen to both podcasts. They have been great. Put on some of that YouTube and listen to the Rance Allen group and just sit there and go back down memory lane yourself. Put all of this together. Look, I'm your producer, Jerome Graham. It's been great talking to Elder Steve Allen. Man, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Our executive producer is Chris Piper. If you have any questions or comments or you just want to listen again, go to WGTE.org/HOPE. Again, that's WGTE.org/hope or wherever you stream your podcast.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission. For more information about the Voices Around Us podcast project, please visit WGTE.org. You may also listen to all Voices Around Us podcasts at WGTE.org/VAU, the WGTE app, or wherever you get your podcasts online.